Welcome to FemLead, the podcast on female leadership and role models. This show aims to inspire and equip you with the tools you need to navigate your career plans. FemLead brings inspiring career perspectives and strategies to guide your path to success. Your host, Alexandra, will interview role models on new exciting topics with each episode. If you like what you hear, give us a review and subscribe to the show on your preferred streaming platform. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first FemLead webinar. We have a special guest, Peggy Poon, and we wanted the first webinar to really be about something that is important. Transforming your passion into your career path, we thought it's a very important topic. Peggy is the founder of Time to Raise, and prior to that, she worked with IBM and Microsoft as a leader in the Nordic region. She will deep dive into her career path. But our mission here at FemLead is to empower women to build fulfilling careers. We want to take your career to the next level. And the way we do this is that we, of course, have a podcast that we share.
I'm sure.
Events. We organize live events, and we also plan a in-person conference here in Denmark. So stay tuned. Join our newsletter to find out about it. Lastly, we want to build a community that empowers and supports career-minded women. So again, stay tuned. Join us. Join our events, and I'm sure that you will be able to find out more about our upcoming events. Finding your voice is the epitome of why we built FemLead Podcast. This project was born to showcase examples of role models who inspire the next generation of leaders. And our aim is to build a community of people that want to support and uplift each other. Meet the team. We are working together to share content and inspiration for your career path. So we have Ankutsa, Nicoleta, and Gulin joining us as teammates. And we would actually like to welcome you as well. If you find yourself in inspiration mode and you want to help empowering women, we welcome your motivation at hello@femleadpodcast.com. Share with us why you want to empower women. Share with us how you want to help. And we're very, very happy to have you join us. Last but not least, we started recently a newsletter where we share monthly advice and tips for your career path. So in order to stay up to date, we encourage you to go to femleadpodcast.com, scroll down on the homepage and sign up for our newsletter. Hopefully you will get inspiration right to your inbox very, very soon. Okay. Now, shared that you have been a leader in the Nordic startup scene with Microsoft and IBM. And from your presentation, you said that at some point you realized that, hey, why don't I transform this passion that I have for communities and startups and growing into my full-time job? But I have a question before that. How did you realize that you wanted to do a career change? Was it the fact that you took the leave of absence and you went to see, you know, how things happen in other countries? You planned it and you implemented it in Microsoft. Did you give yourself a timeline? How did you decide to do that?
Really good question. And looking back, I would say that I always still was interested in the startup ecosystem ever since Green Pickup. But maybe 1 year before I took my leave of absence, I started to think, I want to do more. And I also was engaged in Startup Weekend, which is, for people who doesn't know, it's a weekend competition where people, where anyone can join and build a startup within 54 hours. And then in the end, they get to pitch their ideas. So it's great learnings. And while I was doing this, I felt I wanted to do more somehow. And that is when I decided, okay, let's just try to take a leave of absence. And I feel people should not be afraid of making a change. This is what I see people have a problem with. They get stuck at what they do, and then it takes many, many years until they do a first move. And it's really important that if you feel that you don't feel complete and that you want to find something that you really like, you need to take the step and move away from your pattern and do something else.
Do you think that your life experience, you know, I think that what you said is very important, but some of us are thinking, well, if I do this now, I will jeopardize my opportunities in the future. How did you find the confidence and motivation to take this step? What was your mindset?
My mindset was that I needed to, since I had felt that there is something more, then why not try? Because we only live once. And it's about, it's really your mindset that you need to do something. And it doesn't have to be a big step like taking a leave of absence. You can start with a small project aside of your work before taking the step. Because for me, I started with startup meetups and startup weekend on my free time. And this is what anyone can do. And when you realize from your free time that, oh, this is super fun, I really want to transform my career to what I do for fun, then you can take a bigger step.
And on that note, we actually got in a very, very good question related to structuring your business endeavors. So we got a question: how did you create a structure on what your passion business is offering? How did you start looking for clients? So, of course, the fact that you need to build up a business from your passion is, in theory, a very good starting point. But how do you structure that? And when you have to do the business planning, that also includes funding, money, obviously, to be able to maintain it, how did you start?
I believe, Sonia, that so the question is from Sonia. I will relate this to time to race. So how did I structure on something on time to race? How was it relevant for other people? Well, while I was at Microsoft, I realized that I had difficulties to find women-led startups. In my portfolio, I was lacking diversity. And speaking to investors, they were saying the same. So I started to research on the numbers, and it's very clear out there. You can see where the funding money goes in the startup world. And it was a real problem that I felt myself. Speaking to colleagues, they were saying the same. And that is why I decided to collect the women or women-led startups into a platform, which is Time to Raise. And from there, we would connect them to investors. How I structured that, it was defining a problem, and then I found a vision from the problem, and then I tested it by looking for clients. It's, I don't call it clients, but applications to my program. And before I did that, I also researched on how many female founders are out there. And I saw that there are many, there are many more than you think.
Yeah.
And when I opened up the application, to our happy surprise, we got 176 ones.
Wow.
Received for me that this works. I want to do this full time.
That's also very, very good validation of your what you think the problem is and how you came up with the solution. Congratulations on that. That's a great number for the region that we are now talking about. So really fantastic, Peggy. Thank you, Sonia, for your question. We also have a question coming in from Gülen that asked, did you have any negative experiences during your career change? Did everything go as you wanted? Because it's not easy to make this decision, and it's a decision that requires taking risks. Mm. How do you feel about taking risks? Did you have any experiences that you didn't oversee?
Yes. Yes, is the answer. There are a lot of ups and downs when you take risks. But looking back today, I don't regret taking any risks, because otherwise I would sit here and wonder, is there something else that I could work with that I'm really passionate about? And for me, the negative experience would be that not everyone will agree with your steps. For example, for me, I had quite a traditional path. I studied bachelor, master's, and worked in the tech industry. And people were questioning, you have come this far, why restart, or why do a career switch? And these questions might come to you as well, but you know yourself better than anyone else does. And also, another negative experience I had was that there are a lot of ups and downs when you start a project. And this is, whether it's a free time project or free time hobby or a full time new project, there will be a lot of pitfalls. For example, you might not get the funding there. You might not get customers or clients that we talked about before. And it's about being strong, because you know that this will lead to something that you are passionate about. And it's fine to fail as well. You will learn. And this will also lead to your next experience that might bring you to your passion.
Mm, definitely. I do want to ask you something about the details of you deciding to start the company, because that came after you had different opportunities to find out what your passion is. You worked a lot with organizing on your free time, either startup events or joining different communities and seeing some of the negative sides of, for example, not having diversity in startups, right? I want to ask you more on the admin side. Who was a support person, or what sort of support did you have while you were at IBM and Microsoft to join all of these different initiatives? And I'm asking this question on purpose, because a lot of times people write me and say, I don't know who can help me achieve what I want to achieve. I cannot go to my manager and say, hey, I'm not really that happy here. Can we do something about it? You need to come up sometimes yourself with some ideas or some solutions, but you don't know where to start. You don't know who to ask, and you don't know how to ask for help. So my question is, how do you ask for help? Who did you ask for help in your instance? And what do you advise people that really feel like they need more support than they have? Where should they start?
This is super great, because looking back, I feel like I was not open enough on what I wanted. And this is something I am changing today, because I realized that people out there are very helpful. They want to help you. So it's about you defining what you want to do. That's step one. And then step two, talk to people. Talk to everyone around you. Tell them, okay, my next step, I want to move closer to the startup ecosystem. What should I do? And then people will give you ideas. And the worst thing that would happen is that they say, I don't know. And then you ask the next person. So the best support is people around you, first of all. But also when you have identified more and more on exactly what you want to do, then you can start to search for the right people people that are in the position where you want to go, and then you can contact them yourself. And worst thing there that could happen is also that they don't reply, but then you just ask the next person. So really be open about what you want. And in my case, I had at Microsoft, I had a very supportive manager. I had the privilege to be open and tell him exactly what I wanted. And he supported me in my decisions. But if your manager is not supportive, you don't have this close relationship with him, talk to someone else in the organization and see if that person can support you. So it's all about breaking the barriers and talk to people.
I think you mentioned something extremely important, and that is that if you do not get support from the source that you found more trustworthy, don't give up. So don't think that your path ends with the fact that, for example, in your case, your manager would have said, "What are you talking about?" No, you know, you don't give up. So I do want to mention on this occasion that it could be a great idea to join a community like Peggy's or like mine and ask for open-ended questions such as, how do I get to find a mentor? How do I get to get in contact with people that work in the field of sound design, if this is something you want to impact? You know, how do I do it if I don't have a starting point that I am comfortable with? Both of us are really sharing our profiles publicly, not because we have all of the answers, but because we are very open to supporting other people that might not know where to start. And in my case, what really proved good for me was that I was joining a lot of networking events and I felt uncomfortable many times. I want to say that if you feel awkward at an event, we've all been in that situation where we don't know many people and we are like, I just want to make a friend here so I can get in contact with someone. And that should not be a barrier to you discussing your ideas, connecting with people, building a network, because in time you will see that dots start to connect and you'll be like, oh yeah, that person mentioned like 6 months ago that they will have this project starting up soon and now it's live and now maybe I can impact it somehow. So never try to close any doors because it's not, you know, out there or it's not ideal for you at the time, because it can always bring out new opportunities. And I really wanted to continue on this thread of asking you, how did you find out exactly your passion? Because I'm passionate about growth and women empowerment too, but maybe, you know, the idea of founding Time to Raise didn't come to me. How do you connect your passion to a specific topic? And, you know, can you take us a bit through your thought process? Because there are many people in this webinar that probably say, yeah, I have similar passions like Peggy, but I will not found a women-led accelerator. How do you kind of pinpoint how to connect your passion with the topic and how do you find your passion?
First of all, I want to comment on what you said about networks. This is very important. And networks helped me even more to realize my passion, because you will find like-minded people when you go to an event. So really, if you are looking for your passion, or if you already know your passion and want to come closer, start to look at what events are out there or what communities can I join so I can discuss with like-minded people. This is what I did. I was very active in the startup ecosystem. Going back to your original question, I was active and started to hang out more and more with startup people. And eventually, when I did a career switch to Microsoft, I had something I could show. I had something I could prove. I had a network out there that was relevant to the work that I was going to do to build up their startup strategy. So my recommendation is to repeat what you said, Alexandra. It can be scary in the beginning to go to something new, but you will learn. Now, I believe both for you and me, when we go to events, we feel much more comfortable than before. This was my first step to do this whole career change. While I was at Microsoft, I worked more and more towards women-led startups, or I started to create events for our women-led startups in the Microsoft for Startups program. And it came quite naturally that I wanted to break inequality. It was just, it's hard to explain why specifically this little topic. But I think for most of the people, when you do things, unexpected outcomes will come to you. And this is also, I wrote an article before called How Giving Back Can Lead to Your Career Path. While you do nonprofit projects or while you do something to give back to the society, you might realize something that you would never realize before. And that might lead to what you will do in the future.
I do want to continue our discussion with something that I'm personally very interested in, but it's also a very important milestone in your development, because you were employed at Microsoft in what could probably be said as a pretty cool job. It involved your passion and it involved, you know, the opportunity to impact really the startup world. Yet, you made the decision to leave and build something on your own, which is very brave and also very cool that you really had the clarity that this is the next step. I'm curious to know, how did you make that decision? How do you decide to leave a company? How do you make this transition? I want to know, you know, mindset, decision making. Did you talk with anyone? What was like your thought process about it?
Yeah, great question. I would actually say that my bigger step was when I took a leave of absence from IBM rather than this step, because that leave of absence really taught me that breaking your habit can lead to something great. And your sort of passion will change throughout your life. For me, I identified more and more, okay, during my IBM time, I wanted to focus on working closer to the startup ecosystem. And while at Microsoft, I wanted to focus more on breaking inequality in the startup ecosystem. So they are both related, but within my passion, which was startups, I found a subcategory which was women-led startups and breaking inequality. So I wouldn't say it's a complete big change. It was just that I narrowed down. And then who knows, in a couple of years, I might do something completely different because I identified even more what I wanted to focus on. It was not difficult when, I mean, if you really break down what you like I did on my slides, I showed you these four themes that I am passionate about. And if you do the same and really understand this is what I want to do, then it's not that difficult or it's not illogical that you focus on these four themes. So it's all about your mindset, I would say.
And speaking of mindset and, you know, building your own company, but I'm curious now to understand at which point in your development of the project did you decide to make it your full-time focus?
It was, I always had an open conversation with my manager at that time. This project was something I wanted to do, whether I had Microsoft with me or not. So I had conversations with other players or other companies, and they thought they were in. They wanted to support this. And it made me easier, or it made it easier for me that this project could be independent. And at the same time, while we started the acceleration program that is 8 weeks, it was a lot of work. And it was a lot of work in my daily job as well. So it was natural for me to choose one of them. Sometimes you need to make a choice. And I wanted to focus on breaking inequality. So I had a conversation with my manager, and he said, well, if that is really what you want to do, then I'm going to support you. I only had time with one. And also, don't stress too much about knowing what your passion is. I would like to recommend a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F star CK. I'm not going to say a bad word. Read it, and maybe a lot of you have already read it. Read it, take a deep breath, and try out different things to find out what you really want to do.
As you said earlier, for you, it was also a journey to find out what your opportunities are. So definitely balancing things out, it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And on that note, I want to talk a little bit about Time to Raise and women-led startups. I want to understand more about the impact that you want to create, and I want you to share advice for anyone who might be looking for inspiration to start a business. Before that, though, I would like to give some numbers to how the world of women-led investments is doing right now. So as we know, and as Peggy also mentioned, women-led investments are nowhere near an equal representation in the investment realm. Unconventional Ventures released a new report stating that the funding gap remains largely the same, even though capital deployed to mixed funding teams increased slightly. So this is a report by Unconventional Ventures that is shared in the Nordics. In 2020, all women-founded startups raised just 0.7% of investments in the Nordics. 7.3% went to mixed-gender founding teams, while all men-founding teams raised 92%. What do you want to achieve with Time to Raise, Peggy, and what made you start this initiative?
Yes, so you made the numbers very clear. 0.7% for all female teams and 7.3% for mixed teams. This is a number that that was for last year. The year before, it was a little bit better. So although we have identified these numbers, we have not moved to the better. And looking a couple of years back, it has been not much of a change. So what I wanted to achieve with Time to Raise was to break the pattern that less capital goes to women. And I do that by creating an acceleration program with 100% focus on funding. And at the same time, during the program, the startups get actual connections to investors. Investors who are eager to invest in great startups. So when I saw these 176 applicants, I thought like these startups were amazing. They were great. They're going to change the world. They will all achieve great things. And this program is just for an extra push to connect them with the right people, to give them a larger network. This is what the program is all about. So to summarize, the program is about breaking these numbers.
Peggy, you have been very gracious with your time. I know that right now you are in Helsinki joining Slush conference. But before you go, do you want to leave our audience with any piece of advice?
Yeah, I can recap and say don't stress about not knowing your passion and really be specific, writing it down to yourself so you know what you like. That will make it much easier for you in any steps you take, because you're making it clear for yourself and to others what you like. Try, if you don't know your passion, try nonprofit projects or side projects, join something to test your interest, and maybe one of the projects will lead to your future.
Thank you, Peggy, and thank you, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of FemLead Podcast. Share the news with your friends and follow us on social media at FemLead Podcast everywhere.